You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
An exciting day in the tri-state today with the women of color at C.K. Newsom going on and all kinds of women over there and men as well, learning about how to relate well to each other. And I've got two women here today, friends from the program of recovery, that are going to share with us about sponsorship, which is very important in the program of recovery. Wherever you go to get clean and sober, you need a coach and somebody to help you along. So I'd like to introduce Etta. Hi, Etta and Kathy.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
How are you all today?
We're doing good.
You all look clean and sober, no doubt about it.
So, good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know. It's good to wake up looking like we are clean and sober, isn't it? Do you think our appearance as women does change when we're clean and sober?
Yes, it does, quite a bit. You know, when you first come into the rooms, you kind of look a little, you know, you kind of look like you're in a daze, and, you know, you don't look as good. Your skin and everything starts to clear up once you get that, you know, get the drugs and the alcohol out of your system. So as time goes along in the program and you know, start to just, you know, clean yourself up and you start looking better, your self-esteem goes up, you know, you have a little confidence in yourself and you just start to look better, even mentally and physically and emotionally as well. I mean, that just automatically makes you look better. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, for me, I think that it's a look in the eye of people that get it, that changes your appearance and changes who you are. You can tell there's like a sparkle in people's eyes when they're in recovery and they're happy. And when they're not, there's not that sparkle. It's not there. And I think that is a, changes the whole appearance of anyone, not just women, but men. I keep a little picture of me sitting on the couch drinking a beer up on my refrigerator, probably one of the last, you know, few months of my using, and I look awful. I just look awful, and I keep that up there because I want to remember what I looked like then.
10 years ago.
Versus, wow. Yeah, 10 years ago versus what I look like today, and I look younger today than I did then.
Wow.
You know.
So the appearance definitely.
Oh, definitely.
Changes.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't have that sparkle in the eye that I'm talking about.
That's true, that eye. Kathy, you've been clean and sober since December 16th, 1999. My God, almost a decade. And Ed has been sober and clean since September 16th of 06. You are her sponsor.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And to get clean and sober, it is recommended to get a sponsor. Why is that? What does that mean? And what do you do as a sponsor?
Well, a sponsor's responsibility is to help teach the person that they're working with how to live clean and sober by working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and be happy and to accept life on life's terms. It's not to be their chauffeur. It's not to be their, you know, anything else. I think that after you work with women for a while and they do get clean and sober, you do become very good friends, and it sort of changes over the years. I know my sponsor and I've been had the same sponsor since I came in, and we talk on a pretty neutral ground today. But in the beginning, I didn't have the first clue what to do. And my sponsor would tell me, you do, when you think of something, you do the exact opposite, and it'll probably be right.
So they're honest with you about
very,
how screwed up your thinking is.
And I think that they can see things that you don't see.
Sure.
If you pick the person that you want to be like, you know, there's some kind of attraction in the person that you choose to be your sponsor. Do I have her confidence? Do I have a certain air that she has? Do I want that? Now, granted, people may not get the exact same thing that I have, but they will definitely get their own comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that is what it's all about, is a comfort zone in being clean and sober. And learning to live on life's terms, because just because you get clean and sober doesn't mean your life's going to go perfect.
Right.
Because it's not.
So, Etta, you know when you came in and got clean and sober out of rehab and started going to 12-step meetings, that to get comfortable was going to take some work on your part? And did you just think, I have to find the right coach, the right sponsor to help me do that? What made you...
Okay, yeah, I did. I knew that I needed to have somebody that I could see that was actually working the steps, and I kept going to my 12-step meetings on a daily basis, and I just sit and I listen and watch the women that were in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I had a couple of other sponsors before Kathy actually became my sponsor, but... the sponsor that I had, you know, everything was okay in the beginning, but I just felt like I needed somebody that was really, that I could really look up to and that would be a role model for me.
Mm-hmm. So she's tough.
And she's tough. She goes by the book.
Yeah.
Not only does she speak the AA philosophy, but she follows it, and she does work the program.
Absolutely.
The way it's supposed to be worked. And that's the type of role model that I wanted.
A no-nonsense person.
Exactly. Somebody that was very serious about their life, not only just about the program, about their own lives as well.
And did it bother you that she was white?
No, not at all.
So that wasn't even an issue?
That wasn't an issue at all, because, you know, at an early age, I was exposed to the Caucasian, community. I went to school with them, and I went to high school. I was in the business world, in corporate America, you know, working with Caucasian people. So that wasn't an issue. That wasn't a barrier at all for me, you know.
Do you think it is?
For some women, I probably so, you know, but, you know, the thing about it is that you have to have an open mind, you know, in this program that says we have to have an open mind.
Yes.
So, you know, you can't just have these barriers in a way, or to me, it's making excuses, you know, excuses not to be able to take suggestions and do like the program asks you to do. So, you know, Kathy, like I said, I saw her in those rooms and I listened to her, her comments, and I saw the way she carried herself and the confidence that she had, and I knew that she was clean and sober for quite some time. And, you know, I wanted what she had, and she's an excellent role model.
She is.
In this program. She really is.
Yeah. Kathy, is that hard for you to hear, coming from a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol into being a woman people look up to now?
I want everybody to know that everybody is capable of falling. And I don't want to be put on a pedestal. I don't want them to think that I can have issues, because believe me, my thinking sometimes is still just as screwed up as anybody I work with, even the girls that I work with that only have a couple months. But, you know, I try to do what I can. But the best thing that I think that I do show them is, not only do I work in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I work in the community as well. I am a big sister in the community, a school-based big sister, and a community-based big sister.
Wow.
I have coached in the city of Evansville. You know, because when I was drinking and using, I couldn't give to the society, to the community, like I wanted to.
Do you tell people that you're recovering?
It depends on the situation. I'm not ashamed of it at all.
Right.
You know, if the situation arises, yes, I certainly would. I mean, do I run around shouting on rooftops? No. But if the situation arises that I need to say, yes. But I want all the girls that I work with, I want them to realize that I am capable, just as capable of falling. Right. Yeah. I'm not, because I didn't get any of them sober. It was just God's intervention between us.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with me.
It's a heck of a responsibility that you sponsor people now. Isn't it a big responsibility when people admire you?
Yes. And, you know,
kind of, whoa.
Yeah, because you have people, you know, that really look up to you. And just like Kathy was saying, you know, to touch back on what she said, you know, we're not perfect. I mean, we're still subject to error. So, I mean, the only thing we can do is just pray on a daily basis and just, let our higher power intervene with us and help us to do the next right thing, and to try to be an example for these ladies, and try to be a leader. And, you know, that's all that we can do.
But when you sponsor somebody, they do look up to you at first. Then they find out you're human too, but...
I know that there's been quite a few incidences that there's things that's happened in my life that has been very chaotic. in sobriety. And today, my patience level is so much greater than it used to be. And I think some of the girls I've worked with has watched me go through some very big situations that would probably just be people ripping their hair out. And I just kind of go through it calmly and coolly. And because I've learned today that getting upset doesn't change that situation.
Right.
And you can't deal with it near as well as if you stay calm.
So you're teaching them being a parent can get you in a tailspin that would make you think a drink is a good thing at the end of the day. But you're teaching them, hey, I can get through parenting and being a wife without picking up a drink.
Yeah, and it doesn't help for you to get upset. That's something, and I think in early sobriety, people's tempers and their
yeah, sure.
You know, they're
raw.
Yes, so much more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just don't have patience. But
right.
Please, people, do not pray for patience, because God will put all sorts of things in your life to make you practice that. So please don't think I'm asking for you to pray for patience. It will come if you just pray for the right thing.
Yes, definitely.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So she showed you, Etta, that you can get through a lot of things and not pick up a drink or a drug.
Absolutely. I know for me, in early sobriety, I've had some you know, tolerance and patient issues, and not to say, you know, to be honest, I still have it, not as much, but I know sometimes I can get frustrated.
Well, my,
you know.
God, you're married to Robert, what do you expect?
Oh my God.
We love Robert, he's our fan, but relationships are hard work.
Yes, they are. They really are. And
wow.
Like I said, you have to pray on a daily basis and just, you know, pull out that toolbox and use it and keep going. That's what you have to do.
So when you two do get that feeling of tightness in your relationship or in your parenting, does it help to go to people you sponsor and work with others? Is that a good solution?
Oh, definitely. Yes, definitely. Because no matter how bad you think you have it, someone else has got it worse. And when you see that, you realize how grateful you are for what you do have. Mm-hmm. And when you become grateful, it's hard to be hateful.
Oh, good point.
You know,
when you're grateful, you can't be hateful.
Right. It's hard to be that way.
I'm going to use that, Kathy. I'm taking that for my own.
I got it from Donnie Deal.
Oh, my God. Donnie Deal. Oh, wow. Grateful can't be hateful. That's awesome. That's
yeah,
true.
But he's always said that, and I've always heard that in the rooms. And he's right. When you're grateful for what you have, and you want what you have instead of having what you want, which is two total different things.
Yeah.
Life becomes easier.
So do people find you in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and when they are new women, do you two go after them and try to introduce yourselves to them and let them know that you're clean and sober and happy?
Yes.
How do you meet new people? How do they meet you all in the rooms?
Well, basically what they do is they come in and they, you know, because they're quiet and they're listening and to the comments that everybody has to say in the rooms. And after the meetings, you know, sometimes I just go up and introduce myself when I see new people come in the rooms and just, you know, say hello and ask them at the end of the meeting, do they have a sponsor? And then some of them say yes and some of them say no. And the ones that don't have sponsors, I mean, I don't impose myself upon them, but if they ask me, you know, for my help or ask for a sponsor, then, you know, I'd be more than happy to help them. So that's basically the way it goes.
Kind of go after them, introduce, and then, yeah.
Well, for me, I don't believe that my home group is a huge meeting.
Yes.
It's literally hundreds of people in the meeting. And it's a very excellent meeting. There's good sobriety in there. So that's
is that the Sunday morning?
Yes. Uh-huh. And treatment centers come in there. But I have never actually gone to the people. You know,
you don't have to. You comment, and they swarm to you.
But when they come to me, I always tell them. You know, I've given my number. If everyone called me that I gave my number out to, I wouldn't have any time to do anything else. But we all know that not everybody that walks into the rooms gets clean and sober, and that's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yes.
You know, we realize that probably just really about 10% of the people that come in the rooms get sober. And
do you think it's different for the women? Somebody's calling, I think.
I don't really know. I think with women, what I see is that women don't stay in the rooms as long as the men do.
Do we have a caller? I think we do. Hold on, y'all. Good morning.
Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hey. I was listening to her, and I heard her say, don't pray for patience
That's what
okay. I used to do that, and oh my Lord. So now I just pray that he helps me do the next right thing.
Well, thank you, caller. Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Brady.
Thanks for calling in. So you don't pray for tolerance anymore. You just pray for the energy to do the next right thing.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're getting it. Because
yes,
you do
I am.
The next right thing. So do you agree with what these women are sharing?
Oh, yes.
Definitely. Well, thank you.
Trying to put too many things on your plate can make you overwhelmed, and then you can't do anything.
My God, you sound like you're from Kentucky.
Hello.
Well, if you can get it in Kentucky, then people need to find you in the rooms, too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. So what do you think? Don't pray for patience until...
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
How did you find out what the right... Did you know what the right thing was, or did the addiction just take that even away from you?
I think down deep in all of us, I think even when we were in our deepest addiction, I think we knew right from wrong. I think that in most people is the case. We just chose not to listen to the right.
Yeah.
We thought we knew the answer. We wanted it to be our way. Mm-hmm. At least I did. I wanted it to be my way all the time, or you could just forget it. You know, now I realize that it cannot be my way all the time, because it's going to end up God's way no matter what I try to do. It's going to end up His way, and I realize that today.
How do you talk to women that don't believe in God yet, or that believe that that's just, it turns them off to even hear God? Etta, how do you all...
Well, basically, you know, the only thing that they can do if they don't believe in God is to just take some suggestions, you know, find a power that's greater than they are, you know, and not using their own devices. And, you know, sometimes the higher power could just be the group, you know.
Yeah.
It could be their sponsor. It could be somebody that is giving them suggestions outside themselves. And basically, I know for me, you know, when you first come into the rooms, I mean, you're not really thinking about God, you know, after being out there for so many years, you know, out there drinking and drugging and abusing yourself and doing all types of things that you know that's not right. You know, it takes a while to get that connection back to a higher power. And eventually the program brought me back to my higher power. So that's basically the way it worked for me. And that's the suggestion that I always try to give other women in the program, you know. And you can also use God as good orderly direction, you know, and that helps sometime too. And if they don't, you know, if they don't believe in a God, like I said, I just always let them know, just believe in a power greater than yourself, you know.
And just about that open-mindedness.
And being open-minded, right, and just doing the next right thing. When you're doing the next right thing, eventually that's going to take you to a power greater than yourself. So that's how it worked for me. And that's the suggestion that I always try to give other women when they come to me with that issue. So,
yeah. So Kathy, how do you answer to people that want to go to church and not to the 12-step meetings and not back to their therapist and not back to their rehab? Just go to church.
I am a big advocate of church. If you want to go to church, that's awesome. That's great. And I do believe that some people might be able to get sober and stay sober that way, but I don't believe that it would work on a constant basis. I don't attract a lot of women that do not want God in their life, because God is my primary source of recovery, and it always has been, and I make that very clear from the beginning when I share in meetings or whatever. So I haven't really experienced getting someone who refused to just absolutely not believe. I did have a girl quite a few years back that was struggling with a God of her own understanding, and I told her to use my God.
Are you all talking about God in a religious way, in a Christian way?
Or I think everybody's got their own power, greater power. I certainly do. I certainly believe myself to be a Christian. But that is not what I push, because if you push that, that will run people possibly out the doors. But I think that, you know, I've heard people in rooms say that this table is their higher power. I don't understand that. I don't get that. But if someone can use that Then why couldn't someone use Jesus Christ in the rooms and not offend anyone? But what I say is, you know, write down all the characteristics of a very best friend that you would want permanently in your life. Mm-hmm. And make that the God of your understanding at the beginning. And pray to that, you know, to a person that would be the very best friend you could ever have. And what you will find out is when you start praying to that particular thing, he will become the best friend that you ever had.
Power comes. Okay, Tri-State, hold on. We've got a commercial. This is getting very good and very interesting. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest.
The psoriasis on my knees, the itchiness can drive you crazy. I have tried everything. Dermarest is the best product I have ever used.
Dermarest psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow. And now Dermarest is improved with a unique zinc complex that moisturizes and reduces redness. Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
Hello, Dermarest. Goodbye, psoriasis.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
We are back on air talking to Kathy and Etta about sobriety and recovery and the things that women and anybody can do to have a better life clean and sober from drugs and alcohol. Etta, before the break, we were talking about God and religion and how does that play a role in Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous? I know in the 12 steps a higher power is mentioned.
Yes. Well, see, here's the thing. When you're working this 12-step program, you know, the first two steps is kind of, you know, making your seeing that you're being honest with yourself and bringing everything out, you know, admitting that you're powerless over that disease, okay? And, you know, you have to make a decision, you know, before you can go on with the rest of the steps. And only a power greater than yourself is going to allow you to build that confidence up and wanting to be honest, to be able to lay everything out on the table, to get to the actual problem. You know, the alcohol and drugs is only a symptom,
okay? Do you believe people that go out and relapse aren't religious? Do you believe relapse is because they don't have a connection with God?
Well, that I would say maybe that might be a part of it, but I just think that disease is just so cunning, mm-hmm. baffling, and powerful that it's just, and it's just like
that's
with myself.
True. It becomes more powerful.
And you know, for me, I mean, I've always believed in a power greater than myself. I've always believed in God.
Sure.
But, you know, that disease, if you don't have that connection with a higher power, you know, then that disease just can take over and it just can pull you.
The power again.
It becomes the power all over again. Mm. So that's just the way it worked for me. You know,
but do you all think that some people that can use the program as their power?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Absolutely. In fact, even though I was raised in church growing up, when I first came into the room, I didn't even believe the people to be sober.
Hold on, we have another call. Yeah, right. Hi, caller.
Lisa, you rock, man.
What? I'm sorry, we couldn't hear you.
I said you rock. This is Johnny.
Johnny Spells, what's going on?
Hey,
the founding father of Radio Rehab. What do you know?
I was listening to you guys, and you sound awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
God told me a long time ago when I told him I was having a problem with the God thing. He told me, "There's my problem. God's not a thing."
Ooh.
He told told me to read four lines up from the bottom of page 62 of the big book.
God's my director, and I am the...
Well, Kathy's quoting it. Go for it.
He is the father, we are his children.
He is the principal, and we are his agents.
There you go. You guys, right. We're rocking and rolling together here.
Keep on carrying the message. I'll see you soon.
Yes, I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Great. Johnny's, this was a lot of the radio rehab was his idea. Yeah. He talked to Mr. Landers about doing this way back before I even got in the picture,
yeah.
That a radio show needs to address recovery.
Yes. I think it's really, really important because a lot of people do listen to radio, whether it be on their way to work or just riding around, mm-hmm. You know, going from point A to point B, you know, and it needs to be addressed because it's a big issue in today's society.
A lot of people don't want to come to AA. Why?
I don't know, but you had mentioned relapse.
Yes.
And I want to kind of address that for a minute because I believe... The women that I have worked with and my experiences of women that have relapsed and people in the program that I know, I don't really know that it's the God issue that makes them go back out. I think it's more the acceptance that I have this disease. Mm. You know, I think lurking in the back of their mind, they don't want to say, I am powerless over drugs and alcohol.
That first step.
And my life is unmanageable. When you cannot surrender,
have to quit.
Yeah. When you cannot surrender, there is no way you're going to find. You're going to look for a power greater than yourself. You're going to want to change because in the back of your mind, you still say, when things get tough enough, I'll go drink again.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know with all your heart in step one that. Mm. It's not going to be able to happen because when I put alcohol and drugs in my body, they take control and my head is no longer in control.
They become your higher power.
Right. And that is why the program works on changing the way you think than more than anything else. Because when the thinking is good, action is good. Mm-hmm. When the thinking is bad, action is bad.
But do you agree, Ed? I think you're right. I think if they've truly taken step one... The rest of the steps won't be a turnoff.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe the step one has been, in my experience of working with someone, it's been the surrender issue. Mm-hmm. It's especially, I have quite a few sponsees in their early 20s.
Oh my, let us pray.
I'm
teenagers.
I'm not really sure why I attract the women in their 20s, because my children are in their 20s. But I think for the young people, they get it in their head and they think forever, forever, forever. And when you're 23, nothing seems to be forever. And you have to get that word out of their vocabulary and realize that it's just today that I'm going to stay sober. And if you keep thinking tomorrow, you know, I've even told girls tomorrow, you can go get drunk if you want. But when tomorrow gets here, what is it? Today.
Yeah.
So tomorrow really never comes because by the time it gets here, it's today. And then if you're really doing this deal for today, it stays in today. And I think that's probably the hardest thing for girls in their 20s to get to because I know Etta has been much easier on that subject than the girls.
How old are you, Etta?
You're not supposed to ask those questions on the air.
No,
no, I'm not. Actually, I'm double that and a little more. So.
Oh, look how good you two look.
I'm just saying I have noticed it in the younger girls a lot more so than in the older women that I've worked with. Maybe it's just us older women, we've just had enough.
I think, you know, Ben Troppin came on, and Allison, that's the producer here, and shared when you're in your 20s, it is the culture.
Mm-hmm.
The drinking is part of the culture still, and it is hard to get it that the rest of your life you can't have a drink anymore.
However, I will say that I have at least 5 sponsees in their 20s that have more than 3 years.
Awesome.
And so I think that is very possible, and they do work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they are awesome women.
So where can people find you too? Because you are incredible, and your message and energy is incredible. I hate that we have to soon end.
Old Stone is primarily where I go.
Look for Kathy at Old Stone.
I like the noon meetings. And I, of course, my home group is Sunday morning.
5:30 to 10:30?
Yes. And Saturday night there is a good group called Rule 62, which is a lot of young people.
Yes.
And you don't have to be necessarily young in age to go there. But the reason I go there is because I have about 7 or 8 of my sponsees that attend that meeting regularly. And then that way I get a chance to see them all at once.
Right.
But it's a very, very good meeting for young people. And
Rule 62?
Rule 62. It's a very good meeting. And they always hang out with each other afterwards.
After, yeah.
And I think that is awesome because they include everybody in the group.
Yes.
It's they don't just say, oh, this little section's going to go. They say anyone that wants to go, they go bowling, they go skating, they go out to eat dinner.
Wow.
And it's a group of them.
There is life after sobriety.
Yeah, and that's a good thing for young people to know that that group
absolutely.
Is there. And that is at the Peace. Right now it's at
Lloyd.
Yeah, Bakey and Lloyd. It's at a church, but I think they're getting ready to move that meeting, but I'm not sure where they're going to move it yet.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Now, I know there's a good meeting also on Saturday evenings at 5:30 is at over at the Sunlight of the Spirit. It's called SOS. And that's really, really good meeting. It's a big book study, and I'm learning a lot about.
That's at 5:30 on Saturday.
That's 5:30
on
Saturday.
That's
off on Riverside over by all of the little, where the antique shops and everything close to 41.
Daryl's Place.
What about your
yes.
group on Thursday night?
And then my group on Thursday night is the KISS group. That is like a beginning meeting, but the. Stepping Stone comes there, the treatment center comes there, and there's a lot of newcomers there. So we'd like to always like to go there and help the newcomers and share with them.
Now, where's that?
Okay, that's located over on 8th and...
Belmead.
8th and Belmead, right.
In the Impact Ministries.
It's the Impact Ministries, yes.
So you all can find Etta and Kathy all over the rooms of recovery.
Yeah, you're subject to see me anywhere. I'll pop up in meetings all over the city. So
you're probably not subject to see me in a lot of nighttime meetings except Saturday night.
Right. Well, thank you two for coming. If you want to hear Etta and Kathy some more and talk to them some more, you can go to the website lisaseifcares.net. Hit podcast, and you'll be able to hear them, and we'll add ways that you can get a hold of them as well. Tri-State, I hate that this is over. This has been great. We will have Etta and Kathy back. Thank you, too, for coming and sharing.
Thank you for asking me, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
It's been very enlightening. Thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And Tri-State, don't forget, between now and next Saturday, to do the next right thing.